Okay, and we are on. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Ginger Robbins. Thank you for coming to our first Shack meeting of the year. Today is September the 10th, 2025. And the time is officially 3:50 in the afternoon. We do have a quorum present. Members of our committee this year are Morgan Runyon, who's present, Janet Womack, who's present, Jessica Riddle, present, Ginger Robbins, present, Hannah Sullivan, who is our high school rep, Luke Robbins is absent, Elvira Griffin is present, and then Megan Webb, Josh Eubanks, and Deanne Lee are also members, but they are out today. So welcome, everybody. Everybody should have an agenda. And in accordance with our local guidelines, I did post the meeting last week. And so you can see that we get started. Our very first thing on the agenda is nutrition food services. And I wanted to give everybody an update of kind of where we are in the cafeteria. The staffing update is Danielle Parker left. Did y'all know Danielle? She served for a long time. And she has moved. And so Deanne Lee,
who's her sister,
mm-hmm. has taken over. And then we added Pam Bradshaw to the cafeteria. And she's doing great. So we're fully staffed.
Who's the other young lady? Isn't there another?
Yes.
She's Hispanic.
She is. Yes.
Miss Tapia.
Miss Tapia is in there, okay. And they're doing great. Yeah. For the breakfast program overview, so here's the thing: everybody gets breakfast. We offer free breakfast, and I'll tell you, it's kind of evolved over the years. At least while I've been here, I've noticed. It's breakfast served in the classroom. They actually have a roster of every classroom, and they put the breakfast in a crate. It is delivered outside of the teacher doors, and then the doors open as early as 7:35. Kids can come on in. They grab their breakfast. They're supposed to take their breakfast and begin eating. I think it works well on the elementary side, especially. It didn't work, honestly, as well as we had hoped on the secondary side, because the kids won't get there before 2 minutes before 8 o'clock. Mm. That's the truth. They're rolling in, and they don't want to eat breakfast before. All of our teachers, for the most part, unless there's a science lab or something, they're allowing the high schoolers to eat first period. The other thing was, some of the high schoolers wouldn't take the breakfast. They just said, I don't want to eat. Well, that kind of is hard because we're trying to really offer free breakfast for everybody. Then what we noticed was, well, they're kind of hungry by 9:30. You know, then they want a snack. And so we've kind of evolved over time in that, especially the bananas, they love the bananas. And you can kind of speak to that. Kids are starting to eat more closer to second period. So they have what's called a share table. We have told every high schooler, please take your breakfast. Eat it, put it in your backpack, or put it on the share table. Student perspective, what are your thoughts about breakfast?
A lot of people don't really eat it, but once we get later into the day, we really do. By around fourth period, most of the tables are completely cleared off.
I've noticed that.
And you've subbed in the rooms. Okay. So, there's been some real discussion about don't force kids to take that breakfast. And we never want to force kids to take it. But if everybody's taking it, it feels more like it's the natural thing of what we do. And a lot of them are hungry. The kids that are running cross country, they're getting up and running at 6 and 6:30. But they may not feel hungry to eat at 7:30, but by 9:30 they're ready to go. So we'll just keep monitoring it. Deanne told me we have new breakfast items. Breakfast pizza.
And then there's a donut, which we had yesterday.
Okay.
Or it's a honey bun, not a donut.
Okay.
And that's all I've seen so far.
And I want to say there's some kind of new peanut butter and...
raspberry.
That's it, and raspberry.
Kind of like a Pop-Tart. Or
it's an Uncrustable, but instead of strawberry jelly, it's raspberry jelly.
So what do you think? Have you tried it?
No. I don't like peanut butter.
No, okay. Any questions, concerns about breakfast?
Well, I don't know whether... No, you know. I don't... Cafeterias cook very little. They don't cook anything. It's all packaged. I think it's great, Miss Robbins. I mean, as far as... It's not like the breakfast we had in the cafeteria.
All right.
You know. But for today... I think it's good.
I buy breakfast sometimes. I like the new breakfast pizza.
I just eat with the kids. I'm gonna buy
it. You're set for life. You're good. I thought the breakfast pizza tastes like lunch. I mean, but it's good. I like it. And I've had an Uncrustable, and they're fine. I like them frozen. I mean, it's nothing super wowy, but it's good. Okay, here's the next thing I know. The next thing on the agenda says lunch. Here's where we are. We are still offering free lunch to all as well. We are in, I don't want to speak to the dollar amount because I don't know off the top of my head, but we are losing money by offering free lunch. $90,000 to $100,000. It's substantial. I visited with Mr. Seiler yesterday about it. It's something that we need to look at. We may not be able to sustain to continue to offer everybody a free lunch. I love the idea and the premise that we just want to feed kids. Mm-hmm. And if we have to cut somewhere else to make sure any kid that's hungry and wants food gets food. I know it was a big push after COVID. And so the need is there. Our secondary numbers are not very high for lunch. Anybody 9th through 12th grade can leave. And so they love the idea of open campus. I'm not sure that they're all eating when they leave, but they just want to leave campus. We have a few kids that can't drive and they stay. It's mostly freshmen. Pretty much all 10th through 12th graders, unless they live far out in the country or something.
I know for a fact we have 2 seniors that stay.
Yep.
And that's about it. And I don't even know in the junior class. I don't think there is any in the junior class.
No.
Mm-mm. I don't know.
We're maybe two or three tables in secondary.
Right.
I know that hurts us. There are other schools that if you'll notice around, the trend is they're closing school lunch, they're closing campus. Mm-hmm. And part of that is due to the monetary facts.
The monetary part, is that due to the number of kids fed, or is it due to purchasing the food?
I think part of it is purchasing of the food. And then there's no subsidy for anybody that would be on free and reduced free lunch that's eligible. But then when they don't take it, they don't get the money for that reimbursement. So it's a two-part issue.
Okay. Because there was a grant, correct?
I think it's over.
But it's been, okay.
It's, the grant ran out, and I know that you're right about that because it was had to do also with the summer feeding program. And so we would opt out because we had the grant, but that grant's over now. So it'll be something we'll have to look into for this summer as well. I do think it'll be an issue that we can talk about in SHAC as we move forward, or how we want to move forward. I agree. I really want to make sure kids get fed. Mm-hmm. If they can't learn if they can't. Exactly. If they don't have nutrition. And
right.
So, anyway, hopefully Deanne can come next time and give us some specific numbers. How many kids are eating on average, and I think that would be informative for us.
Hannah, are the kids reluctant to sign up for free lunch, do you think? I mean, do they want that stigma? Is it a stigma, or does that have anything to do with it? Do you understand my question?
I mean, I don't think so. It's just most of the high school is like, we can leave campus, so. Like me, I don't eat lunch, but I go home because I have to take care of other things at home during lunchtime. But if I was to eat, if I was on campus and to eat, I would do the free lunch.
I have a question. So is there a way that, like, the kids could take the lunch to go? Like, if the point of them leaving is they want to be off campus, could they, like, bag it up and let them take it?
I don't know, but that's an excellent question.
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I think that might help.
I mean, something they could say, like, in first or second period, I want lunch, but mm-hmm.
I want it to go.
Oh, it'd be easy for the count, because in the breakfast cart, yep. On the sheet, it says breakfast and lunch. And so we know, honestly, who all is absent, because when I look down the hallway, I can see all the crates, and if I say, oh, there's one breakfast left in this crate, I know somebody's absent out of that class. So not only do we get attendance first period through the breakfast, who is there, but right next to it, if you want lunch, you sign up when you pick up your breakfast. Mm-hmm. So you're not even calling it out loud or reporting. You're checking it. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted, that could be easy. If mm-hmm. that's allowable, it could be lunch in cafeteria, or like lunch on site, or lunch to go. Mm-hmm. That might be a great idea.
Right, and if it's that, a lot of kids are probably going to say no, because when we were doing it like that with the offering it,
uh-huh.
it was still little numbers picking and saying that they would want it. But like just saying it's either lunch on campus or you take your lunch to go, it doesn't really give them an option. They have to take it. And so it's helping the school, and it's also...
If they knew that they could walk right by...
Charles Wine and just pick it up and went.
Pick it up. Or if the comment was, well, it's going to take too long for it to be...
Ready.
But what if it were bagged up already and they could pick it up outside mm-hmm. the office on their way out?
Yeah. Just like on those, you know, when you order to go mm-hmm. and it's already just sitting there mm-hmm. with your name on it.
With your name on it, you just grab and go.
Or by grade. Mm-hmm. They don't want to put individual names.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
So they're set up and ready before our LEAP class ends. So mm-hmm. when you're leaving LEAP, you have to go by the office to get your lunch.
Go. Yeah. I think that's worth exploring.
Or just to be an option to see how many kids yeah. take it. Mm-hmm. And then if it doesn't make a difference, then...
Would you take a lunch?
I
don't
eat lunch
because I don't want to have to cook something during yeah. lunch. Yeah. That's why I don't eat lunch.
But you've got to go home. Uh-huh.
Yes, we have dogs that have to eat separate.
I would tell my kids to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's probably still, I know it's got to be better than the corn dog Jack's going home and cooking. Honestly.
Yep. Yeah.
You know? Okay, I love that idea. I love it.
I do too.
That's a good idea. Okay, I will report back. I will find out the health things, if there's rules. I will investigate that, and I will report back. Okay, next on the agenda is counseling. Y'all were so blessed and happy. We loved our last counselor, and now we love and adore our new counselor. Jessica Riddle has, like, set the school on fire with fabulousness. So welcome, and give us your update.
Yes. So, again, new to Bronx ISD, but really excited. When I came in, I was like, oh my gosh, they already have so many good things. And so I feel a little bit of pressure of like, okay, we got to keep these things going. So the first thing is that Food to Kids was a thing last year. Families like that. So we went ahead and rolled with it. I sent letters out this week getting those in. And so I'm hoping to reach out to the Concho Valley Regional Food Bank. And then I will be the deliverer. So I will pick up when I go home and bring them to school on Fridays. And then Mrs. Pittman and I will work together to get those distributed out, which is great for high schoolers, gives them the task to work on. The counseling program received a grant for some read aloud books. I'm a big believer in bibliotherapy, and so I see pre-K through third grade every Thursday. And we read a book, we have some conversations, and then I empower them with an activity. within that 30 minutes, and then I launch them either with a quote or a video. And so those books are really important because it kind of anchors the lesson on whatever we're working on for that month. So this month we're working on respect. So the book that we're reading is Due On to Others. And so we'll have like a little activity that will go with it. So that's the grant portion. To kind of keep going with, you know, empowering kids to use the strategies that I've taught in that lesson. I've been working on newsletters to send out through Dojo, whether it's like conversation starters or activities families can do at home, what respect might look like. And then obviously we have the high school portion, which is, you know, those FAFSA scholarships, those kinds of things. So I'm kind of juggling both the character development of our Longhorns, but then also setting them up to get out of here and go spread the Brought Longhorn tradition and show what we've been working on. Kind of looking towards the future, I've been kind of setting up some things to pull some small groups. So I have created two surveys, one to send out to the secondary and one that's more elementary verbiage friendly. And it's just seeing where kids are emotionally, regulation-wise. Like, how well can you calm yourself down if you're frustrated, and giving me a scale. If you encounter a problem or something hard in class, do you just give up, or do you have grit and can you push through? And then I'm trying to think some other questions, but really just kind of seeing where they're at socially. And then using that survey, I'll kind of sift through the data and say, okay, I'm going to make a third through fifth grade perseverance group of boys, because I see that's a really low target. So then I'll target during lunch, because kids love to come in here during lunch, the library, and have activities, and they get to talk with me, and it's separate, and they think it's cool. The elementary does. Now, high school, on the other hand, they're like, mm-mm. So I still would like to have small groups, but just kind of in a different environment. So whether that's like two or three of us and we meet in my office and we just meet six times or 6 weeks, that's kind of my plan, but that's kind of setting the foundation. From there, once we kind of gather everything and we kind of get things rolling, then I'm hoping to kind of build an application to submit to CREST. So CREST is Counselors Reinforcing Excellence for Students for Texas. No money's tied to it. It's literally a story piece that helps tell Bront's story of the counseling department. And it kind of shares what I do, because I think sometimes counselors kind of get lost and no one really knows what the counselor does. And so I kind of use that as an advocacy piece as well. So there's a lot happening, a lot of growing, a lot of setting the foundation, but I'm really excited to grow here at Bront.
She's doing great. Thanks. She meets with every senior.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On Wednesday, she has a senior group as well, which I absolutely love. Hannah, you're in the Wednesday group.
She helped out today.
Yeah, you went today. But I think the beauty in that is, like, other things that Jess does is she maintains a website. Well, not a website, mm-hmm. a Google Classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And every scholarship opportunity that comes in, she is posting it in there. Well, then she sees every senior weekly so she can tell them, hey, these are the scholarships that are opening up and that are available.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be monumental when it's time for FAFSA.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all, that's a twofold thing. Yes, you have to have the student to do their part, but you also have to have the parent to do their part or to opt out.
Mm-hmm.
And kids can really fall through the cracks and miss out on things if it doesn't have constant attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really love the fact that she's got this amazing spreadsheet where she's tracking all the kids. And it shows, like, they've taken the COC, they've taken the ACT, they're on point with the TSIA. It's just so much more than it ever was when we went through.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes toward all of their CCMR and their readiness. And for us to be able to have every senior kid get to see their counselor at least once a week, I think mm-hmm. is, like, that's a big deal. So she's very busy with the littles all the way through to the high schoolers.
Yes.
So, yeah.
thank you for all your work.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
She's busy. Like, yeah. She needs roller skates. She's all over the building. It's wonderful. Okay, any questions about counseling pieces? So as y'all know, one of the things, please advocate or get out into the world as well. If you know a kid that has a need for counseling, mm-hmm. we still are partnered up. We call it TeachAt. Mm-hmm. The acronym is Texas Health.
It's through Texas Tech.
Yes, it is.
And it's a great resource because, you know, we here out in Bryant, like, we don't have a lot of mental health resources. And sometimes it's hard for families to make that 30-minute drive. So if we can support our people and keep it here, then that is an option, and it's has been utilized. And so we're going to continue to utilize it.
Yeah. It's available. The number one thing that we hear is it's very hard to get in mm-hmm. or the initial appointment for those kind of counseling services. And if we have a kid that starts out on, let's just say, Monday, and they need to speak with somebody, they can come into the counselor. She can get that going as soon as the parent and student are both willing and able to make that initial tele-appointment. Mm-hmm. So if you ever hear of anything, please be an advocate and say, no, the school is set up. We have that in place, and we can offer that. So that's a good thing. Questions?
I will say, because I've... As somebody that is, I was a part of that last year. It took you less than a month to get me into the program, and Ms. Sanchez had been trying to get me in for almost a year, mm-hmm. and it took Ms. Robbins a less than a month to get me in, and they were amazing. I met with them, I think, 3 months, and I was done.
Awesome. Now you met, what do you call it?
I did.
You FaceTime.
Zoom with them, yes. Okay. For like 3 months, and they helped him tremendously.
That's awesome. And you had private time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't sit in. We just facilitated a place and they had the equipment. So.
But it wasn't in person, is what I was mm-mm, getting
no,
at.
No, it's a tele.
That's
tele,
okay.
It is. It's okay. Yeah.
It's the time we live.
It is. It is so true. Okay, safety and security. So the next thing on the agenda, it says Allie's Way, and I have pamphlets for you all if you would like to pass them around. So here's the thing. We have
a couple.
We have kids speed through the parking lot. We really speed through the parking lot. very fast. And so, of course, that was concerning. Then we had another incident where a student was pulling out of our parking lot to turn right in front of the ag shop over there, and she was slowly approaching to get to the stop sign, and another kid just cut right in front of her and blew through the stop sign and kept going.
I watched that happen.
And it was scary. I've replayed it on the video multiple times. We had a fender bender in our back parking lot. We do not have the best drivers because they're student drivers, and
they're kids.
Know that they're kids, and they don't always think forward as to what could happen next. Because I had 3 big deals, that's kind of my thing. If I see 3 instances in a short amount of time, I start Googling and looking for things. I ended up finding this Allie's Way, and I reached out, and within about a week, she said, I can be at your school. And she came this week, and we met with her, and her story was very compelling. And we had just the 9th through the 12th graders, so about 60 kids in the auditorium, so it felt very intimate. And she told her story. Mm-hmm. And her story in a nutshell is she's a mom of 4 kids. They had kids buckled in the car. They do everything right. Her husband went to a park in Round Rock, where they run, and the day before, their kiddo was running cross country. The next day, they showed up so that the kid could walk the course and do some things, and dad took the 2-year-old out of the car seat, stood him right there beside him, reached in and grabbed some sunscreen, put sunscreen on the little girl, and then turned to put the sunscreen back in the car. And when he did, she stepped off the curb. It was just from here to the park, in the parking lot, and a distracted driver on their phone driving 20 miles an hour hit and killed the two-year-old. And so her message was, you don't have to be speeding, and it can even be in a parking lot, and terrible things can happen. And so I think that it was very emotional and powerful to realize it just takes a split second. And we have kids that walk across the street to that ag building 9 times a day. We have kids that are rounding the corner to go into the new gym all day long. So it was short. Her message was brief. It was about 45 minutes. But I hope that it makes a difference. So anyway, that was an immediate need. And so we offered that. This Monday, all of our eighth graders attended Green Hand Camp. I love that we don't make it optional, that we have all eighth graders go do that. If you're not familiar with the Green Hand Camp, it's kind of an FFA leadership thing. But all of our eighth graders take principles of ag. So they all are able to do that. Team building, just it's a good message, it's a good day. So we've done that. And then we've already had all FFA members attend to the presentation. It's a leadership discussion. They came and visited as well this past week. And you're like, well, why is that under safety and security? within all of those things, actually, safe driving is important. Leadership, making good choices, how do your actions affect others? All of those things lead into what is, I consider, the biggie on D, suicide prevention. This is Suicide Prevention Month. And student mental health is always an issue. I had an instance where I had somebody come in today and say that they were being bullied. And whether it's bullying or not, it is the perception that lots of kids have. You know, is it mean girl behavior? Is it persistent? And so this continual need to push leadership, positive actions, leaning on one another, all goes into creating what I consider a safe school. It can't always just be about us being armed and keeping doors locked. The safety and security, I think, also comes from a sense of well-being, making kids feel safe at school. So that's why I put it under safety and security. This is where I want to pause and say, does the committee have goals, ideas, or wishes that you would like us to work toward this year? Just like I found the Safe Driving Awareness Program, are there things that y'all would like me to look into that we could do, that I can do? What do you think are some needs that go along with social, emotional well-being and that sort of thing?
Has there ever been an online safety course or...
like cyberbullying?
That, or just online safety.
Like how to, don't put your phone number on the internet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, what... you know, do's and don'ts.
Okay.
Those things never disappear. They're always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, because high schoolers, you're fixing to turn them out. Mm-hmm. Even though everybody's got their cell phone with them all the time, it's a whole new ballgame when you go to college or 100%. Trade school or just...
Mm-hmm.
And how easy it is for somebody to get your information.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I will look and see what I can find.
Within, I see advertised within so many seconds that when a child gets on, they're already being watched, stalked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Well, okay. And, I mean, we live in small town, but they may not end up in a small town.
No. Well, but with the phone, we're all global.
Yeah, it opens the world up a little bit, and it's a little scary out there. Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, I do like the idea of doing that. We have teaks, and we mention them, but maybe something very targeted and specific like that would be more effective.
And I don't know if there's, like, a legislative group you know, that has lobbied and maybe has some programs that they are able to provide schools. That would be...
Surely they do.
You would think.
I think. You know, there are all kinds of laws. There's different things, again, with the anti-bullying, but mm-hmm. it all feels reactive, and this would be a more proactive mm-hmm. stance.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, I guess it's off the subject, but what about the cell phone rule? Can you tell... How does it affect you, Hannah?
It doesn't actually affect me. I don't really socialize with a lot of people. I don't really need my phone. I talk to my boyfriend and play a game. That's about it. So it doesn't really affect me. He works while I'm at school, so by the time I'm getting home, he's off of work. So not having my phone doesn't affect me.
Have you heard the kids complain?
Some, yes, mm-hmm. but old habits. And I called them out on it this morning, actually. A couple of them, they were talking about it, and I was like, well, you're too used to your old habits, that's why.
You know, it's hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah.
That's the best analogy uh-huh. I can give for the fact that we've had cell phones and now we're like, oh, we can't. Our kids have handled it, I think, as well as anybody. Here's the policy for Bront. They can still have their phones. The law says that it is supposed to be safe storage or not used during the day. And so for us, the kids, we have a sign and we have morning duty, power off your phone. They walk in, a lot of them with their phone in their hand, and we say, power your phone off. As long as it's turned off, they can keep it with them. And then when they leave at lunch, you see them all pulling their phones out and they are powering them on. The thing that we have been working the most is, will they really power it off? That's the thing. There's a big trust issue there. Will you really turn your phone off, or are you keeping it on, but you're not using it? The kids have been told they're not to take their phones to the bathroom. Well, if it's turned off, it shouldn't be a big deal to just leave it on a teacher desk or leave it in. This becomes a management issue. The faculty has to buy in and follow the law too. We have to say you can't use your phone. I will be honest and tell you that we had drug screening. It's random. Anybody that's in a UIL, anything, they can go through the drug screening, and it's random. And so I had 25 kids, and I took them all to the new gym, and I said, okay, you're the lucky ones today. Please turn your phone in. And I had 11 kids that didn't have their phone turned off. I mean, so to me, I record, and I've been keeping a tally of every, you know, thing.
I turn mine off, and it goes in a magnetized closing pocket on my backpack. You can see the top of my phone. That's it. It stays there till lunchtime, and I wait till I get closer to my truck before I pull it out of my bag.
Everybody is not as diligent as Hannah.
No, yesterday when I subbed, I think Miss Pittman has a plastic yep. mm-hmm. box to put them in, and there weren't but one or two phones. I didn't have big classes, you know, five yeah. or six, but there were five kids and I had two phones. Mm-hmm. And I said something about phones, and one of the girls said, it's in my pocket. And, you know, I didn't say, I said, okay, if it rings, it belongs to me. Mm-hmm. I just want you to. I got that dirty look. Uh-huh. But if, may I pick up a phone?
100%.
Okay.
And they have all been, yeah. I guess you would say, told thusly.
Yeah.
At any time if an adult asks, if we see it, we have the right to ask and take it. So even in a back pocket or anything. But it hasn't been a huge deal yet, but I think we're still working through it. The other new business, that's a legislative update, the phone thing, which has to do with mental health. And so the other legislative update is that every 3 years, your administrator go through a SHAC training. I have completed it. I'm done.
We don't have to.
You don't have to. And so I've done it. And one of the things is in that training course is that I'm supposed to advocate to the committee again the rules, the regulations, of what is expected of us. it's an opt-in or opt-out, and we mention it every year. What is the district's stance on what do we want to do about talking about sexual health among children? Do we teach it? Do we teach puberty? Do we teach reproductive things? Do we have a class? The school board voted that we were not going to adopt curriculum and that we were not going to actively teach it as long as we cover it in the TEKS. But with that said, that has been 3 years ago. And so every 3 years, it can be back up for discussion again. And so if it's something that we feel like there should be, like in fourth grade, they have to cover puberty, you know, and then in fifth grade, and we do have health curriculum that does that. Again, in seventh grade, in our science books, it talks about reproduction. But as it is to human sexuality, we do not have a curriculum in place. We do not have a set course that does that. And so that is a decision of a SHAC committee.
We decided not to do that.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's something that, we may want to look into as far as at least we need to know what are other schools doing. I always say you should know what everybody around you is doing and have a complete picture of the information, and then we make a decision. What are y'all's thoughts on it's a touchy subject, but that's why we have a committee.
The touchy part to me is the trans part.
Yes. And I think that is a separate bullet point from it. I think that what we are required to address is reproduction.
Is science and biology.
That's the portion of that. You know, how does this happen? What is the consequence? Those sorts of things. Not really as much as I identify as this or that, but the science and biology of reproduction.
You say that. So some of us take child development, and in that class we learn all of that. I feel that maybe it should be something that's required for the younger classes, so they have to have it, so they know about it, other than them opting out of the class and not.
Instead of it being an elective class, like how we have every 8th grader do principles of ag, every 7th grader does principles of, like you're saying,
make it
because Miss Pittman and one of the other girls in the class this morning were talking about how most of the senior class this year didn't take the class. There were like 3 of us that did. And I was like, and I just was kind of sitting there thinking, and I was like, that's only 3 of us that know the real understanding of all of this. And a lot of our class isn't really mature enough to handle that, but it's something that seems to be needed more because now in today's society, apparently, having kids young is a popular thing. I don't believe that it is, but I don't want kids.
What is covered in that class? You said it's child development?
Yes. Basically from the start to raising the kid.
Okay. So like
the process before the kid and then up to when the kid turns 18.
Do you discuss everything as far back as menstruation and when the body develops and is ready?
I'm not sure. That was beginning of last year. I was just trying to make it through last year. That one I'm not really sure, but I do know we start from like before the conception of the baby.
Okay. I can find out more about our child development course with the book, that sort of thing. I'm not influencing one way or other. I'm just saying I'm here to I am a get you information person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. mean, as a parent, I definitely would like to have those conversations with my kids before they hear it somewhere else.
100%.
But I understand that that's not the case with all parents. And for that reason, I do think that it might be something that needs to be...
Okay.
Something that spurs a conversation.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Like they...
And especially if it's a... is taught well. Or how right. there's a... Mm-hmm.
And it has been made... Like, it was said a bunch last year about those of us that did take it, that's a girls' class and not a boys' class. Mm-hmm. I think it needs to include boys and girls because the boys also need an understanding of what's going on with everything that the girls handle.
100%.
Yes.
And that might be a good way to introduce it in a class that covers, you know, you know, from baby to adolescence. And that's something that I think... us as people, if we're going to grow up and have children and become parents, that's something that's going to serve you in the future. Like it's
okay, well, let me find out specifically what we do. Let me find out the very specific curriculum that they have, how it's supposed to be administered, who does that. And again, I do know that they are very specific about there are fourth grade, fifth grade, and seventh grade TEKS. Those are the identified times when you cover certain things. The committee would preview the details and the curriculum of all of it, and we would make a decision of that, what we feel comfortable with, and then it is presented to the school board. They look at it, they approve it or not, and then it is open for public viewing for 30 days then before it's ever taught. So that provides into the piece of, like you said, we would post it and say, hey, this is what we are planning on doing, and it has passed the school board, and now you have 30 days to view it before we were to ever talk to your kiddo about it. And this year, the legislative update has included an opt-in and an opt-out form. So even if we as a committee decided this is what we're going to teach, and then it goes through all the things, I could still opt my kiddo out. And if you opt out, and let's just say that Hannah or Hannah's parent decided they didn't want her to go through that, she cannot be sent to a room or feel ostracized. They can't be punished, or they get to have something different going on. So that has been a good legislative update. So
isn't that the way, I'll call it sex education,
that's
used to
is.
Be here in the seventh or eighth grade.
Yes.
They taught a
a
week or a 2 week class, and they could opt out.
And
but that was a long time ago.
But that's really what we're talking about is the sex ed class.
Yeah.
And right now it has just been voted that we're not teaching it.
I do know when I was in the sixth grade, we had, I think we were the last class that got it, was when I was in the sixth grade before it wasn't taught anymore.
So that's 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something for the committee to decide. Do we opt in? Do we opt out? If we opt in, what is it that we're opting into? Who's teaching it? What grade gets it? We really need to preview and look at all of that curriculum and make sure it's an approved curriculum. It's not something I'd be comfortable making up. Okay, well, I'll put it on the agenda then for next time. I'll bring y'all things that I have discovered and learned. Is there anything else for new business that y'all would like us to carry over and put on the agenda for next time? Any concerns for the group? Things, any goals for the year? I'm so happy we have a good group.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't have anything else. Anybody?
I think so.
Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to an end. The time is 4:34. Thank you.